Let's freaking go. Bo Bentley is the story from a pretty wild LSU recruiting weekend. We're going to talk about Bo. In fact, our PHL patrons already have a Bo Bentley film study in their inbox. And just today, we released a pretty eye-opening deep dive on Brad Davis as an offensive line developer. So make sure you check it out, patreon.com/LSU football. But I'm not going to talk a whole lot about the specifics of Bo Bentley's recruiting weekend in Baton Rouge. Gary Nussmeier was involved. There were other elite recruits, some from the Sunshine State that was in Baton Rouge this weekend. In fact, the great Joe Burrow is in Baton Rouge as we speak. But what I want to do is start off with a little rant. So, Kenny Darby is a wide receiver that is currently committed to LSU. And there was a huge kerfuffle this weekend when it was Hayes Fawcett who put out there that Darby will be making a final decision on July 4th between LSU and Alabama, the worst school in terms of getting LSU fans riled up, especially considering all the wide receivers that have flipped to Alabama historically after being a longtime LSU commit. From JoJo Earl to most recently Derek Meadows. You guys know that whole gist, okay? So, there was a lot of people angry that Kenny Darby tweeted out something that said, it doesn't look like what it looks like or something else like that. Why do we care? I just want to ask you that very simple question. With the transfer portal existing the way it exists now, why do you care so much about that? It makes no sense. Even if you think Kenny Darby is the next Jamar Chase, he very well could be. LSU already has committed the number one wide receiver in the entire country in Tristan Keys. Now, will they hold on to him? I don't know. Because there is a whole lot that Tristan Keys can demand on any market with him being a five-star receiver who looks a lot like T. Higgins. Literally, go watch him play and tell me you don't see big similarities. And obviously, we want T. Higgins-level players in our program. Look, I don't really care if Kenny Darby visits Alabama, which he did. He is still committed to LSU, by the way. I also don't really care that he is making a final decision on July 4th because it is not a final decision. No matter how much he says it's going to be a final decision, it is not a final decision until you actually sign on the dotted line. So it's a whole lot of people getting angry about that. Now, you going back and forth on your commitment, even if you are just a high schooler, it deserves some ridicule, some criticism, some, but not something to just get so overly hyped up about. Because in the grand scheme of things, it's not really that big of a deal. It's really not. And when you look historically, there are a lot of recruiting flips at all positions. But the single position in all of college football that has the highest volume when it comes to mobility, but also the most replaceable value you could get out of the portal is wide receiver. Now, the position that does transfer the most and starts the most at other schools percentage-wise is indeed quarterback, which is why with Bo Bentley, even if he does commit, it's so hard to play early on in your first year. We'll talk about Bo in just a second. But think about, in recent years, how many really good wide receivers have left LSU. And not only left LSU, but gone on to be very successful at their next school. And it's not affected LSU one iota. At that position, it has not affected LSU. Would it have been nice to have Devonta Smith during his Heisman year in 2020? Absolutely. But for most of the time, we had Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson while Devonta Smith was at Alabama. Remember many moons ago, the most important, I say important, the most productive wide receiver in the history of high school football was a guy by the name of Trey Quinn. Trey Quinn was not a fit for what we were doing, played a lot as a true freshman. For some reason, he is the one LSU player that has blocked me on Twitter. I have never interacted with Trey Quinn. Anyway, he goes to SMU, has a ridiculously good career at SMU, ironically with Courtland Sutton. Trey Quinn has a great NFL career. Didn't matter. All right. So, look, I'm excited for Teron Francis, who we just signed. We haven't talked a whole lot about him. I'm excited about Barrion Brown on this next year's team. So, yes, LSU is a better program with Kenny Darby committed. He is a top 100 Louisiana wide receiver that has proven time in and time out at LSU to be the guy that turns out to be a productive player for you. Sure, you have some guys that didn't work out, like Samson at a Catholic high, but most of them do turn out to be good, even if they take a little bit longer to season and develop and play. All right. So, you know, you are not in a bad spot when it comes to recruiting wide receivers. And it's just even a larger point. This isn't something that really should affect you. All right. I know Cortez Hankton is fine with where they are recruiting wide receivers. In fact, and I don't want to get too deep into this, LSU feels good about recruiting the number one wide receiver in the class of 2027, which you can make a very strong case will be more important overall as a recruiting class than the class of 2026. So really excited about that. Really excited about all the recruits that were visiting LSU this weekend. But I will tell you this, and it has cost me on this channel, it has cost me doing college football media. I just care less and less and less about high school recruiting. Because I think the real story when it comes to high school football recruiting, it's not any kid that signs with LSU or Alabama or any four-star kid. Because just by the fact of you being a four-star kid, there's always going to be a school out there that's going to take a chance on you. It will always exist. If you're a four-star or better recruit, guess what? You are getting a Power Four offer from somewhere. Who I feel for are these three stars that are in limbo every year that want to commit to a P4, and they get processed at the last second because they do a roster diagnostics and say, look, we want to go get guys out of the portal instead of developing you. That's who I feel for. That's where I think the real stories are when it comes to high school football recruiting. All right. So once again, this isn't anti-Kenny Darby. This isn't anti-high school football recruiting. It's not any of that. It's just a reality. I just don't have a whole lot of time in the day to be chasing down high school football recruiting news when it just doesn't matter as much anymore. Now, does it still matter? Blue chip ratio, all that stuff? Yeah. I just don't give a damn. And something else, before we get to our first super chat from Yusha in Ukraine, I know he was excited as a Lazio fan that he saw Inter lose the Champions League final versus PSG. Thank you so much for the Liverpool celebration. I lose massive viewership when I go on my Liverpool rants. Don't get me started on Trent Alexander-Arnold. I'm a grown-ass man crying over a man going to Real Madrid. But still, thank you so much. I really appreciate your generosity. I'll be honest. And I promise I'll stick on football. There's plenty of people breaking down LSU baseball, and we'll talk about it coming up. Obviously, first pitch coming up pretty soon here. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, that I love more than the college baseball regional. I go on these rants all the time. When I watch sports, like immediacy. So this is what I'll say about LSU baseball. You know, we are in a good spot. UALR, a team that's, what, 9 games under 500, we actually gave them airtime on our channel. We had UALR's assistant athletic director on the channel on Thursday night. Nate Olson, great guy. I've known him for a very long time. Nate's a great, great, great guy. And he said, look out for them. And they won 2 games today, and they're probably going to get destroyed, if not tonight, tomorrow. All right? I doubt that they win tonight. Whatever. But y'all, what college sports is all about is this damn squeeze play. I can't get over the squeeze play. I don't even know the ball guy's name that does the squeeze play. The guy that looks like Dilbert, this dude is a freaking wizard. And I know Chris Burke from him calling some of the LSU games, and then Chris Budden, who's awesome. I had to go to the gym today to get away from the squeeze play. I was just sitting here. I was thinking about getting some cheese puffs, going old school Chubby Carter, because nothing beats this. Nothing. There's no college sports experience like the squeeze play. None of it. You've got every last damn thing you want when it comes to college athletics, when it comes to this damn squeeze play. This is what college sports is supposed to be about. None of these guys are going to the big leagues. Maybe 3 of the gazillion players that are playing in this will be a decent big league player. All right? We're lucky to have Paul Skenes and Dylan Cruz on the same damn team. 3 is probably a low amount. It's probably 15 to 20. Maybe that's high. I don't know. But these guys aren't getting the same NIL. They're not, they're playing these games on freaking college campuses. So it's not some neutral site corporate BS like they're turning all of college football and college basketball. This is what it's all about. This is what I signed up for. Nothing beats this. Nothing. I'm not even a big baseball guy. Do I love baseball? Yes. Did I play AAU? Yes. I wasn't great. I only played AAU because they promised me a trip to Six Flags because they only had 9 guys on the roster, so they needed a 10th, and they went and found me. It was worth the trip, though. But yeah, I did play baseball growing up. I love baseball-ish, okay? Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera. When they retired, I just quit watching pro baseball. But there's this thing. I saw these people saying, well, did you know that the Yankees and Dodgers are playing and Shohei Ohtani is going up against Aaron Judge? Who the F cares? That's one of 162 games. And when they either win or lose, they'll take a private jet back to New York City, have a reservation at Carbone, and live their jolly lives. These college baseball players, some of them will be driving trucks next week. These guys, dude, in every single game, it seems like there's a fight. Coaches getting thrown out. They're drawing on white. Dude, it is so freaking good. I love me some damn regional college baseball. Nothing beats this. Nothing. Nothing. But I digress. I know when y'all are here, you want me to talk football, so we'll do that. All right. Next thing. It is interesting. I do this every year before our big season opening game. I do a deep film study on the opposing team's quarterback. And unfortunately for LSU, this will be, the 5th or 6th year in a row that they're playing a good quarterback. You know, you can win so many college games if the other team's quarterback is just ass. All right. And we have shared this plenty of times before. It is so hard for a college football team that has a decent amount of money to have Dookie water at quarterback. You're going to see good quarterbacks. Cade Klubnik is the best quarterback I have seen going into next year. All right. I am not including Garrett Nussmeier into that because it's obviously a very biased opinion. So that will bleed over into my college evaluation. Now, from an NFL evaluation, I feel like I could be a little bit more objective about Garrett Nussmeier, but I take him out of the equation. If there is a quarterback I'm taking over anybody, it is Cade Klubnik. All right. That guy can flat out play. He is a very good runner. If I were to explain his rushing ability, he has a lot of juice. I would say on a scale of can't run at all to Jaden Daniels, he's probably a Jordan Jefferson level runner, which is obviously very good. It's not elite. It's not like unfreaking believably game-breaking. If Cade Klubnik could not throw at all, he as a runner could do enough to win you a football game against a not-so-great team. But as a thrower, he has improved so much. And he has weaknesses. I've watched him. I've broken him down. One of which I think actually sets up really nicely for LSU because they do have a guy in Patrick Payton who is a very active with good ball skills end. Cade Klubnik, while he doesn't throw interceptions throughout his career at Clemson, has had some fumble issues, all right? But it's a gazillion miles away from when the game actually starts. Obviously, I'm more concerned about Michael Braswell and obviously Ethan Fry and the LSU baseball team going all the way. That's my main focus right now. But, you know, LSU's gotten very unlucky with these season openers. They have gotten very unlucky in that they have played mostly really good quarterbacks. Miller Moss is a good quarterback. He is a good quarterback. There's a reason why things got sour at USC. And he lit us up. And our defense wasn't great. And then obviously Jordan Travis did what he did versus us and played two of his best games versus us. All right. So, look. Cade is going to have some success. And the thing that concerns me is while I just mostly evaluated him, when I watch a quarterback, I try to separate that QB from his weapons. And these wide receivers for Clemson are really freaking good. They are really good. They are probably the best set of receivers we'll play. Obviously, Ryan Williams is by far the best receiver we'll play next year. But the best set of wide receivers is probably Clemson's guys, okay? So, after watching Cade for a good bit today and watch a Texas game, God, he's good. He's good. I made some mistakes in that game, but he's a good football player. But yeah, let's get to all your comments. Pierce says, let's get some booby feaster. Jaden Newt is starting tonight. There we go. Let's go to Official Magazine, who's been in here. Throw the Flag has been in here. We are here before the GTA release. Does GTA release tonight? You might call me a poser, and that's fine. I am debating whether or not I'm going to buy the new NCAA tournament in NCAA football game because I have not played the game literally since 2024. I'm not even turning my PlayStation on since 2024. I might just give this damn thing away. By the way, did you know we're giving away a Ja'Marr Chase jersey, autographed jersey for anybody that signed up for Patreon? By the way, you know, if you sign up for Patreon during a live stream, you get your first month free. And on top of that, you get a Joe Burrow card in the mail. Let's go to Official Magazine. Joe Burrow's in town. And Official Magazine says, can you make the argument that Jaden Daniels was better than Joe Burrow? All right. Can you make the argument?
Sure.
It could be a semi-valid argument because through one statistical lens, Jaden is the best statistical Heisman Trophy winner of this era. For any quarterback to rush for 300 yards and throw for 300 yards versus an SEC defense, you have to be insane. The best decision I've ever made in my life was going to that game. Best decision I have ever made in my, I'm telling you, in my life, more than getting married, was going to that game and witnessing that shit. I could not believe it. I did not ever think I would see a quarterback performance from someone not named Joe Burrow at that caliber, at that level, with my own two eyes. But obviously, Joe wins the Heisman Trophy debate because Joe Burrow did not have a bad half when he played the entire season in 2019. He did not have a bad half. Jaden had one-ish bad half. So that's how thin the margins are here. But, you know, the Clemson game happened, and that's really the difference. Okay? It really is. So, you know, it's a fun debate to have. I would also say, as much as Oklahoma fans would be pissed off about this, there's not a 1-2 quarterback duo quite like those two ever. And to have that happen within a 5-year period is insane. Absolutely insane. Also, it's weird to pit them against each other if you're an LSU fan. But it if you want to just objectively take a look at it, sure. It really is, though. Like, and I don't think Sam is hyperbolizing this. It really is LeBron versus Jordan. But I will say, when I was at that Florida Gator game, I literally asked myself, is this the best football player I've ever watched? I literally asked myself that during the game. I was like, this dude really threw and ran for 300 yards in one game, one United States game of tackle football. A human being was able to accomplish that versus an SEC defense. I don't care if your supporting cast is full of first round and second round picks. That's besides the point. Sorry. But the best quarterback performance I have ever seen in person is Drew Brees versus the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football, because that is professional football. That is the best game I've ever seen. 18 for 23, 366, 5 touchdowns to 5 different players, average yard per reception, 16. It's only happened once in the modern era, and that was Lamar Jackson. And that was filtered for 20-plus attempts. But outside of that, the best college football performance I've ever seen in person is Joe Burrow versus Clemson, and then Jaden Daniels versus Florida. And even, you know, if you want to get spicy, Jaden Daniels versus Texas A&M is up there. Or if you want to get even sexier, and this is getting really sexy, I'm talking about prime Salma Hayek level sexy. Jaden Daniels versus Ole Miss, albeit in a losing effort. But it's a fun debate to have. Now, I'll tell you this. We got a guest coming up this week. He is a under-the-radar NFL evaluator. And I saw a tweet that he had, and he said that his two best QBs by far in this draft class is Garrett Nussmeier and Kate Klubnik. Now, this is where it gets a little weird for me, because if I'm looking at it through an NFL lens, I am not agreeing with what else this NFL draft analyst says. He said if Garrett Nussmeier would have come out into the NFL draft this past year, he would have taken Garrett over Cam Ward. I would not have done that. I would not have done that. As much as I love Garrett, all right, I would have taken Garrett over every other QB. I don't know if I would have taken him over Cam Ward. Because for two different reasons. The first is, to actually be the number one overall pick, that is telling you that the NFL collective, because let's just say the Titans did not think Cam Ward was a guy. There's multiple teams trying to trade up to the number one overall pick. And knowing what we know about the Bryce Young trade, and Bryce, it looks like he's going to be good, but you don't really want to do that. You don't want to trade up for the number one overall pick. Knowing NFL market dynamics, there's multiple teams that were trying to do that. Okay, so we've already seen a professional front office actually say, Cam Ward, we want you to have the keys to the Ferrari here. Well, it's the Tennessee Titans. The keys to the Altima here. But another thing is, obviously, I just think Cam was a better player than Garrett Nussmeier was last year. And once again, I was the ACC. I will say Cam Ward did not play a defense nearly as good as Ole Miss all season long. Did not play a defense nearly as good as Alabama's all last year. And I would also say didn't play defense as good as South Carolina. And in two of those three games, Garrett was fantastic and found a way to win him. But we'll have a guest this week who firmly says, and he has no LSU ties, by the way. In fact, I think he's in Nashville. He said he would have taken Garrett Nussmeier number one overall. That is the first NFL draft analyst I found that said that. And that's good. I think Garrett very well could be the number one overall pick in next year's draft. I just think it is. I do think it's a little bold to say, yeah, I would have taken him over Cam Ward. Now, I mean, come on. Did anyone see Cam Ward last year? It was amazing. Marcus, let's go. So, quick announcer. What's up, Kedrick? Tonight at around 8:30 in the PHL Discord. So it'll be probably like an inning or two into the game. We are going to do a private Discord chat where you can actually talk to me. And by the way, all you got to do is sign up for the PHL Patreon. You'll get the Brad Davis film study. It's $9.99 a month. First month you get for free. If you sign up during my live stream, I would get an alert. And you're entered to win the Jamar Chase autographed jersey. Cliff was with me. He just joined. Cliff was with me. Sat next to me during the Florida Gator Jaden Daniels performance. Game and Heavy, thank you so much. This hat means a lot to me because it was personally made by one of our Discordians. Tyler, he's not in here right now. And Tyler made this while a lot was going on in his life. That's how much respect I have for this young man and how much respect he has for this community that we have built together. There we go. All right. Let's get a few more because I do want to lock in for the first few innings and get everything ready for tonight for our live chat. Man, I've gone back and forth on LSU making the college football playoff. I really have. There is a piece of me that says, hey, I think we're going to do it. We sometimes get tunnel vision just in on our team and not realize all the warts and shortcomings of all the other teams in college football. It's also pretty amazing to me how many older quarterbacks left the sport last year, okay? You know, I think this year it could be a year where LSU, and I say LSU, where we will see a lot of teams have some tough QB play. So I know earlier in the stream I said, well, you're never going to be you're never going to be bad at the quarterback position if you're a P4 in the modern day. I will say, though, that a lot of these COVID-era QBs are leaving. Now, what do I mean by COVID-era QBs? All right. Quarterback is a position that you really don't stop developing ever. We have quarterbacks that play well into their late 30s. And if you're a Saints fan, part of what excites you about Tyler Shuck on a rookie deal here is that he is older. You know, if you're a Washington Commanders fan, you felt better about Jaden having success because he had 9 years. Could say he'd never sat the bench. He's only been a starting quarterback his entire career. So he's played about as many snaps as you possibly can play of organized football. Quarterback is a repetition position, okay? So a lot of these old guys are gone. These year five QBs that honestly had 6 years of seasoning. So you can't just go out there and get Michael Penix. You can't just go out there and get Bo Nix. Guys that weren't too great early in their careers, but they were good enough for you to see enough in them to bring them in and be successful. There's just not as many of those year five, year six guys. And if you look throughout college football, there's so many teams starting unproven year three and year two guys. So we could be having a pretty nice reset year, the way college sports are meant to be played, which is 5 years to play four. And I know we're in a debate right now. We got the Zakai Ziegler lawsuit where he is stating, hey, I should get 5 years of full eligibility. Okay. Alexander Taylor says, would I rather Calvin Russell or Kenny Darby? All right. I don't know too much about Calvin Russell. If I remember correctly, he is from the state of Florida. And there you go. It's all I pretty much know. Normally, my policy here is if you are heavily steamed towards being committed to LSU, I'll go watch you. All right. Or if you've already committed to LSU, I'll go sit and watch. If not, you're just going to waste so much time because LSU's in it for so many people, especially on wide receiver. There is not a single wide receiver that is a high school recruit that exists today that does not at least think of the idea of playing at LSU. Because every single recruit knows who Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Odell Beckham is. Every single recruit that exists. You're telling me that not one of those three guys is someone you can envision being? Why did they become who they are today? Well, a good bit of it is because they went to LSU. So, you know, it's tough. I've not watched Calvin Russell, so I'll go with the hometown kid who's already committed. Let's see. I'll pull up the wide receivers here. It is kind of interesting, though, because the guy that everyone said was the best wide receiver was Chris Henry Jr. Now, I remember his dad. Chris Henry Jr. at a Mater Dei High School. He's currently committed to Ohio State. I'm very excited to see him because I was a fan of his dad. Brian says odds of LSU signing Keys. Okay, so Tristan Keys. Every single school that is out there will want Tristan Keys. He is a very, very, very good wide receiver prospect, obviously with the 5-star rating. All right. So it's the second consecutive year we have the number one nationally ranked wide receiver, Tristan Keys. Obviously last year with DeCorian Moore. And a lot of you have residuals, some shrapnel still in your body left over from DeCorian Moore and Bryce Underwood leaving, albeit in different circumstances. So I feel good. I say that cautiously. But so I would put the odds at 65 to 70%, which is honestly pretty good because he literally could get anything. You saw what the number one offensive lineman got to go to Miami. And I will say, if there is a school, and I've not followed Tristan Key's recruitment like too closely, if I'm being honest, because like I said, it's, you can rewind and hear my rant earlier. Miami is a dark horse for Tristan Keys. I'll just put that out there. Okay, let me see what his what the On Three folks are saying as far as. Okay, so they, Ole Miss, USC, Alabama, Tennessee. Obviously, Ole Miss with the proximity of being in Hattiesburg, the home state school, Lane Kiffin, I get it. I could totally get him going to Ole Miss. I will put it out there that Miami is a school. It's something I've just, you hear things from time to time. But that's not what the experts that do this every single day. That's not what they're saying, according to the On Three percentages. So I would take their word over mine, but there you go. Okay. So Brian's actually watched Calvin Russell, so I'll defer to him. I am not prideful enough to say that I am the expert on everything football related. That's why I have this community. A lot of you guys are super sharp. 6'5 wide receiver. That's interesting. He has to fight harder for playing time at his high school. That's insane. Now, does he go to IMG? I really don't know. Let me look. Apalaca, Florida, and do they produce beasts? 6'5", that is tantalizing. Donald says Hattiesburg is closer to Keys than Ole Miss. Yeah, I mean, I was friends in college with Stephen Ridley, who's from Natchez. And you would be shocked. You know, Mississippi is not that big of a state. They have two P4s in their state. But I did a comedy show in Natchez one time. And, yeah, I said, hey, I'm an LSU fan. And this was before PHL. And there's quite a few people saying go Tigers and stuff like that. I was like, wow. Natchez is a huge LSU. It's out of the radar a little bit in terms of how many LSU fans are there. But that was a wild night. I remember doing that set. I wasn't even that good at stand-up. But that night, I had a killer set. I go to the casino. It's like 2 in the morning. And who do I see just sitting in the sports book? I see Jimmy freaking Ott. Jimmy freaking Ott, who I worked with before. But I was so excited to see the old Otter. It was random. Yeah, that's how I am too, Cliff. It's just, I've honestly never really been big recruiting guy. Do I like it? Yes. Is it important? Yes. It's just not. All right, here's what we're going to do. Next 5 to 10 minutes, we'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it moving. Now, I do want to shout out Chris Stanfield. Holy crap. Holy crap. Talk about a dude playing the best baseball of his career. So freaking cool. So freaking cool. Man. Love it. It says all the right things, does all the right things. Him and Curiel just dominating this regional. LSU just dominating their regional. What a player. What a career. I also think for me, when I sit and I watch LSU baseball, I think we can all agree that this team is not like as good as the Paul Skeens, Cade Beloso team. And this team's probably not as good as Mikey Matuk and all those guys. Jared Mitchell, who's done a good job on the SEC network, by the way. But you can clearly see that this team is very, very, very good. And, you know, the many had LSU as the weakest regional. And there is some truth to that. I think a lot of you would say the same thing. But look, nothing is ever guaranteed in baseball. Nothing. Trust me, I've been watching these games. I saw Vanderbilt get knocked out earlier today. I saw that Georgia kid slide head first in the third and do a crazy celebration just for them to get walked off on their home field. This is hard. It doesn't matter who's on the other team. It's hard to win these games. Okay. So, man, dude, I can't quit watching this stuff. And I'm saying this as a neutral. Even if LSU wasn't playing, I would be sitting and watching these games. And I love the timing of it, the timing of when they're doing this. There's no NBA on. I mean, there could be if there's game sevens. But, you know, this is the devil's taint time of the year when it comes to sports. Man, it's good stuff. It's really good stuff. And Chance, I'm glad you called me out on this, even though you're not calling me out. Shout out to LSUS for going 59-0 in baseball. 59-0 in baseball. You do it in football, no big deal. You do it in basketball, no big deal. As in, you go undefeated. We've seen it. Baseball? By far, your best player in baseball will get a chance to hit five times over the course of a game. It is hard. Okay? It is so hard to win every single baseball game. Let's go to Sam, who puts on the hat of Austin Thomas. Okay. So Sam says, if I was Austin Thomas or any college football program, I would not overpay for a wide receiver. I agree with that. The one position that you should overpay for is offensive line. Okay. Out of high school. But really, it is case by case, though. If you think Tristan Keys is really that guy, then pay up and go get him. But here's the thing that I like about paying for an offensive lineman over a receiver. There's a few things. Number one, there's always going to be more offensive linemen on the field than receivers. It is mathematically impossible for that to not be true. The second thing is an offensive lineman is just harder to find. You've got to get those guys out of high school. Every study that has been done on the portal up to this point is that that's the hardest position to get out of the portal, or wide receiver and defensive back is the easiest. And then the last thing that you must consider with an offensive lineman is how they are used in an offense matters drastically less than how a wide receiver is used in an offense. So, yes, scheme does matter when it comes to offensive linemen. If I am a road grading offensive lineman like a Tyler Booker, I do not want to go to a wide zone team. All right. So some of that does matter. All right. But at wide receiver, there's two hurdles you have to clear with making a wide receiver happy. Number one is them actually playing. And then number two, when they play, you need to get them the ball. Every wide receiver wants the ball, especially one that is, you know, a transcendent recruit or a five-star can't-miss recruit. The answer to every single one of these answers is always hitting a baseball in Major League Baseball. All right? And this is why. Now, overall, is playing quarterback in the NFL harder? Yes, and it does have a far bigger impact on you winning the game. So Cliff's question, is it harder to hit a baseball in the MLB, or is it harder to play quarterback in the NFL? So yes, a quarterback's performance far outweighs any one hitter's performance in a game. But here's the thing about stepping into a batter's box and you're facing against Gerrit Cole, all right, because Paul Skeens is too big of a heart to take you seriously and actually throw a 99 mile per hour into the strike zone. Because when you get in the box and someone actually throws 99 miles per hour, you will shit your pants if you've never experienced that in the batter's box. I've not experienced 99. I have experienced 90, and I had to go change out my Under Armour dry fits. It is not a pleasant experience. 90 is humming. All right. The thing about if you're a quarterback in the NFL, I could go get Derrick Henry, Quentin Nelson, Eric McCoy, and just build the best offensive lineman, and we could find a way to pound the rock and set up play action, and maybe we can get something with Joe Schmo at quarterback. So, yes, a lot of us could go out there and hand the football off. When you're in the batter's box, there's not shit you can do. It is you versus – there's no way around it. The only help you could get in the batter's box is if there was a runner on second, and that runner on second would have to be able to steal the signs or decipher the signs. But even then, that would not help you at all. It would not – because you could not – a slider is blowing by you. All right, you have no shot at hitting a baseball, none, zero. You might foul one off. Your best case would be to just close your eyes and just stick your bat out. That is it. You have no shot. Quarterback, yeah, give me Kyle Shanahan or running outside zone. Hit a few play action shots. You're probably sucking at that. Well, no, you are sucking at that as well. So the JUCO that I work for, I call their basketball games. My high school teammate is the coach of the baseball team, and we have a really good baseball program. And even the guys he has, dude, they're throwing 85, man. You think you're hitting that? A Duke one? Okay. I got squeeze play on right now. Dude, those North Carolina uniforms, that light blue with pinstripes, are you kidding me? Let's go to Sam. Oh, I strongly disagree with that. Fielding a baseball is probably easier than hitting. I strongly disagree with that.
Let's go to Donald.
Okay. So here's a good thing if you are a Colin Hurley fan.
First off, behind the scenes,
there have been quite a few people impressed. And it makes a lot of sense. Life-threatening situation. You come out pretty good. Yes, you miss all of spring. Not too worried about that. And, like we have made this point plenty of times, one of the youngest players in the history of LSU football at a position where it is better to be older. So, you know, a lot his body is still developing, which is insane. Another thing it's interesting about Colin is stylistically, based on what he did in high school, body types and who they are as players. Colin is similar to Garrett. Now Garrett definitely has an advantage when it comes to play extension and pulling off more Manzellian types of plays, but Colin could do that too. So Donald, it's a very good super chat. I hope everything's good for you. We need to go to Hutchins Barbecue. I saw this list of like the best places to go get barbecue in Texas. And everyone tells me it's Hutchins Barbecue. Hutchins. Let's go to Alexander. I think Michael Van Buren is pretty good. He had the same numbers as DJ Lagway in less games. I think that's a little tough comparison. I don't think you were saying you would rather have Van Buren than Lagway, but I get the point you are trying to make, even though Lagway was a little bit more of a timeshare with the Mertz, where Van Buren just had the job. And then, of course, when Mertz got hurt, it became the Lagway show. And then he got hurt. Shout out to Thunder Road. Once again, the second Liverpool. We had a super chat from Yusha a little bit earlier regarding that. Terry Black's is the best barbecue I think I've ever eaten. I'm a big fan of Wright's in Arkansas. But we'll keep it going. Let's go to Brian. Tennessee fans are salivating over the thought of stealing keys from BR. They're obsessed with passing LSU as a program in this modern era. Yeah, I would think Tennessee sees themselves very similar to us as not an Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama level program, but in that next kind of tier. Obviously, I think LSU is a better job. I'm not just saying that. I cover Tennessee pretty closely, as a lot of you know from Power Hour SEC. I have a lot of respect for the Vols. So I will say this, and I will keep this to myself involving Tristan Key's recruitment. So I'll let you in on a little bit of behind the scenes. I'm not an insider guy. I don't talk to the powerful people all the time, like, you know, some of the big insiders like Bruce Feldman do. But what happens is you could talk glowingly about a recruit like I have in the past about Tristan Keys, and then someone that's in that orbit or someone that goes to his high school, they'll find your video and they'll send you a message and all that stuff. There's one interesting thing regarding his recruitment that I think is very, very, very important. All right. And, you know, I don't think it's as much like it's NIL stuff, but it is interesting. You can go to a school like Tennessee and they just give you assurances that you're going to start day one. We're going to give you this house for your parents, because obviously going from Hattiesburg to Knoxville is a trip. Now, I don't know anything about Tennessee's recruitment for Tristan Keyes, but there are a lot of variables at play. There are. Okay. And when you are a five-star recruit, you can agree or disagree with the recruiting rankings, but you know, we talk a lot about the allure of the single-digit number. If you're a single-digit recruit, aesthetically, that gets boosters excited, especially considering the recruiting rankings at the wide receiver position have been unfreaking believably accurate. Who was the most talented receiver in college football last year? Well, it was one of two people. It was Jeremiah Smith or Travis Hunter. Those are the two most talented wide receivers. But who are the others? Well, Ryan Williams was a can't-miss five-star recruit. Cam Coleman. You get him a quarterback, he's as good as those guys. I really do think so. And it could just be that Cam Coleman, I had a higher recruiting ranking on Cam Coleman than I actually had him over Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith. I will concede that I don't think he's better than those guys. I just want to put out there that Peyton Thorne was thrown to him. True, Donald. But I'm talking about the now. The now. All right, y'all. Let's get ready for some LSU baseball. I do think we win tonight. I do. I will say, we could lose our super regional, which would be in Baton Rouge, and that not be anything on Jay Johnson's really good resume up to this point. I will say, if for some reason Euler makes this interesting, that is something that will hurt more than anything else, because that would be way worse than Stony Brook or Coastal or any of that BS. All right. I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't. Euler's coach, a very interesting guy, was asking if Ben McDonald had any eligibility left. See if he could pitch for Euler tonight. So there you go. Now, once again, coming up at around 8:30, we'll be doing a little Discord chat. Sam will be in there for a little bit. Skipper, Jared, the whole gang. So there you go. Look at Jordan coming in hot. Them Taco Bell nugs, bro. Dude, I had them. I don't even eat fast food anymore. I've had them twice in the past week. Bro. We'll talk to you soon. Big thanks to our friends at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Check them out. And big shout out to our friends at Fast Draft Fantasy. You've seen the little thing down here. Use my promo code Carter for a deposit match bonus up to $50. It helps your boy in more ways than one. It is Pow Out LSU. Boom. And tonight, we're doing stir fry. Let's go.